surely have enjoyed so much of the time that we have been here already. Presence of the Lord is what makes my life. That's what I live for, is the presence of the Lord. And I look forward someday to moving up to that place where it won't be by faith anymore. We won't need no Bibles. Won't have to fast and pray no more. But we'll live right in the very presence of God.
Yes, amen.
Somebody said that justification delivers us from sin. Sanctification takes care of the cause of sin. And then when we get to heaven, we get out of the very presence of sin, get away from it altogether. So I'm glad tonight, for the presence of God means all the world to me. And I'm so looking forward someday to being there in the very presence of God. I want to see what it's like. I've heard about it. I've read about it. I've preached about it. But one day I want to see what it's like. I want to see what it's really like. I started there one time. Had a dream one time. And I dreamed that the world had come to an end. Everything was melting with fervent heat, and the mountains were passing away, and the trees and the rocks were all rolling and tumbling, carrying on. And I thought I knew this was it. This was the end. And for just a short second or two, I stood there. And I wondered what's going to happen now to me. And about that time, I started going up off the ground. I started raising up like a rocket off the ground. Started flying and taking off up into the air. Looking back down on the old world that was burning and smoke and flames and all the upheaval that was going on. And I was leaving it all behind. Got all the way up to the clouds. And when I got in the clouds, I guess whatever's happened, it woke me up. I didn't get to see what was on the other side of the cloud. Always wished I could have went a little bit further. Got on the other side of that cloud. I believe I'd have seen what heaven looked like. But God didn't want me to see that right now. But it's up there. I'm sure it's there. I'm sure it's there. And God has tried He's done every effort to try to help us to bring it down in such a simple term that we can try to understand what it is. He got a little vision of it, John the Revelator did, and he said it was like a sea of glass, and it was unctuous stones, and it was streets of gold. And we know it's not going to be in streets of gold there, but those were the most priceless things that he could think about. all he could think about, jewels and unctuous stones and all kinds of stones and pearls and diamonds and all those kind of things that he talked about. What he was trying to do is trying to explain what he was seeing. and he didn't have no more words. He didn't have words to explain what it was. So all he could do was take the most priceless, precious, expensive thing that he could think about and say, well, maybe it's something like this, you know. And that's what heaven's going to be like. Far beyond what our minds are able to comprehend it. Thank God tonight. I believe the Lord, I've told this different places, probably told it here already. But I believe the Lord gave me a little vision of where my wife had gone to. The night, you heard me tell about most of you, I'm sure. The night that I looked upon the scene of her grave, after she had been gone for about 3 nights or something, I was out the graveyard and it was cold and it snowed and it was frozen. And the flowers were dead and it was as mist and rain and it was as dark as pitch. And I visualized her beautiful body laying there in the ground. And I looked on that and I thought, my, that is the worst scene I ever looked at. That is the darkest picture I ever saw. Those are some thoughts that presented herself. And I'm standing there with my very heart grieved and I could hardly breathe. And it was dark and dreary and raining and snow on the ground. And I thought, my, there could be nothing worse than this. And then something drew my attention. And I looked over some pine trees there up in the sky. And it was dark. And as I was standing somehow or another, my attention was drawn up that way. And I looked up. And as I looked up there, it began to lighten up. And I seen a beautiful, if you've heard this before, bear with me. I like to tell it over and over. And I seen a beautiful rolling hill down in the valley and up the other side. And I looked on that and kind of staring at this scene. And then I noticed it was just flowers, just about knee high, just covered the whole earth, flowers. Pink and yellow, that's the color they were. And it was a perfect day, like some we've had around here the last few days. Wind, breeze was blowing, and those flowers were just blowing backwards and forwards. Sun was shining beautiful. And oh, it was beautiful to look at. And while I'm standing there gazing up on this scene, I seen my wife come walking toward me. Had on a yellow dress that she used to wear all the time. Had her hair all fixed and she was just as pretty as she'd ever been. And come walking to me, towards me. And the Lord says, now that's the difference for what you're seeing there and what you're seeing here. Where she's at is so much better than where you're at. That's quite a contrast, isn't it? That's been a great encouragement to me. And when I go up now, I look up. Look down, I look up. And I shut my eyes, and maybe I don't see the vision just like I did that night, but I close my eyes, and there it is. Seeing her walking around. Now, I know heaven ain't a literal place and all those things, but that's the way God had it showing me where she was at. It's real. It's real. And I'm just waiting to go there and be with her. I'm just waiting for that. Just trying to spend what little time I have left trying to do a little something for God. Try to help somebody else find a way. I told the folks out in California that I wasn't a great preacher. When the Lord called me and sent me out, I didn't know what to do or where to go or how to do it. The Lord brought to my mind a little vision. The Lord gave me a lot of little visions in my mind. I was standing on a street corner, a busy street corner. And I was just standing there and people going and going. Down there about halfway down the block on that side of the street was the post office. And these people come along here and they'd stop and they'd ask me, do you know where the post office is? I said, yeah, right down there, just half a block on the other side of the street. Pretty soon somebody else come along. Do you know where the post office is? I said, yeah, right down there, just about half a block on the other side of the street. The Lord brought to my mind, that's what I want you to do. Just tell people, point them to where I'm at. Just point them to me. Stand there on the street corner, and somebody comes along in trouble, point them to where you can get some help. And that's what I've been trying to do. Thank the Lord tonight. We had a little thought sometime back. Picked it up somewhere or another. The Lord gives us many thoughts in many ways. I want to put the word on the board. Victimism. I got a hold of that word somewhere or another. And I thought, now, that's a good word. We're living in a time nowadays, but everybody in the world I'm talking about feel like they're being victimized. In other words, they're saying, it ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. Ain't my fault the way things are. And where I kind of picked up another little thought along this line, I read where this fellow was in prison. And it was one of these high class prisons, you know, where they just have the white collared guys. He said there's about 60 some people in there. And he said he was the only one he knew of that took the blame himself, that he was guilty. He was the only one in there guilty. He said, as far as he knew, every one of them in there said they was in there, but it wasn't their fault. Wasn't their fault I'm in here. Somebody else, the reason I'm in here. Somebody crooked me. The lawyer didn't defend me, or I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Not my fault. That's the world that we live in today. People being victimized. The society, the what they call it, the minority groups, you know. The colored race. I would say this if there was any colored folks here, because I believe it's a good thought. They're saying we're a minority. We don't have a chance. And we're victims. We're victims. When we weren't treated right, years ago we were enslaved. And that's true. And I don't like that. And I don't approve of that. I think it was terrible. And I feel for them, those people back then. I really do. I feel like they had a bad deal. But it ain't so now. It ain't so now. A person could go now out into the world and he can be saved. He can live clean. He can go to school. He can get an education. He can get him a job. He can work. He can make money just like anybody else can. So you can't say it ain't my fault. I can't say I'm a victim because of five or six generations back down the road, I wasn't treated right. I can't blame the society for that, man. I feel bad for them back there. And I feel like it's a black mark on America. I feel that it's the worst thing ever happened in our nation, I'm sure. But still, it ain't that way now. It ain't that way now. But that's the world we live in. The minority, the Hispanics, they call them. The women, I'm not getting fair. I'm not getting fair. I believe a woman, or if she does the same work a man, I believe she ought to be paid the same as a man gets paid. If she can do the same work he does, she ought to get the same pay. But no, I'm a victim. I'm being victimized. I'm being taken advantage of. And that's what we hear everywhere we go. Not my fault. Oh, I'm in trouble here, and I'm living in a poverty situation, and I'm sure that people, Jesus said, you'll always have the poor with you. And so, that's what we hear everywhere I go. It ain't my fault. And so I just go out and I'll just, like these people that turn and the government ain't treating me right. I'll just go out and burn down some buildings. I'll break out some windows or I'll shoot somebody just because I ain't being treated right. That's victimism. I'm a victim. I've been taken advantage of. I don't have a chance. I don't have a chance. It's somebody else's fault that I'm like I am. I didn't get an education because somebody else's fault. Well, I'm sure there's incidents where probably things could happen. But it ain't so today. I can get an education. Anybody in here can get an education. There's no reason you can't go to school. There ain't no reason you can't learn. There ain't no reason you can't learn a trade, get a job. You can do that. Anybody can do that, got a right mind and got their health. But no, I'm being victimized. The government's crooked. They're not treating me right. They just too much taxes, too many crooked officials. And I say, well, that's true, Lord, that's true. But that don't keep me from living honest. That don't keep me from having a decent job. If they're crooks, they're crooks. And if they take advantage of people, they have to pay for it somewhere or another. But that don't keep me from living a decent, clean life. That don't keep me from having an honest job. And that don't keep me from supporting my family. And so, it ain't my fault. It seems like it's so much easier just to blame somebody else. Blame the society. Blame the world we're living in. Blame the time we're living in. Blame the government. Blame the governor. Blame the politicians, and I know they got some bad ones. And some of them have got a lot of things nor to be blamed for. But I don't have to be a crook. And I don't have to follow their pattern. And I don't have to do what they do. And I don't have to be a victim just because of that. I can't blame them for that. But that's a spirit that's in the world today. It ain't my fault. It ain't my fault. I'm out here living on welfare, and I know there's people that need welfare. But I see a lot of them. One time, some years back, I went down to Los Angeles and down in the Skid Row, and James Husky was down there and went down there and preached to a bunch of winos. And I thought, now what will I ever say to them? All the way down there. I didn't have a message. And I was racking my brains and my mind. And what can I say to a bunch of people like that? And this lady there had a missionary and she'd fix them something to eat, but they had to go to church for the eat. And so I was searching and they sang. I still didn't have a message. And I'm sitting there waiting, searching the Lord, and the Lord brought to my mind just before the time of the message, the grace of God has appeared unto all men. Teaching them denying ungodliness and worldly love, that they should live sober and righteously and godly right here in this present world. Yes. Yes. And I got up and told that about 40 winos in there. And I don't think they've been used to hearing that. And I said, most of you fellas are in here because you want to be in here. I said, you can get up out of here and go take a bath and clean yourself up and sober up, and God will save you, and you can get a job and go to work and live like other people. Yes, I said, the grace of God is just as much to you as it is to anybody. Yes, And God will do just as much for you as He'll do for anybody else. So let's quit being sorry for ourselves, and let's quit being panhandling and begging and bumming, and let's get up and shake ourselves and clean ourselves up and get a job and go to work and live like people supposed to live. Well, they ain't heard it like that before. They begin to perk up for years, you know. And some of them had quite an altar service that night. Now, I believe one fellow really got saved. I don't know what ever happened to him. But the grace of God has appeared to all men. Oh, I thought about it, read something about these things, picked it up somewhere or another. You know, they're now, I read this or heard this or something or other, you know, the American car makers wanted to cut off the cars, the Japanese, you know. Sending too many cars over here. Putting people out of work. Need to cut it off. Don't let them bring any more of them. Well, the thought was, why don't you just build a better car? If we up there in Detroit, build a better car. Them fellas making $25 an hour, apparently they ought to build a better car than the Japanese could make. Why don't you build a better car and have a close the deal like that? See, we're victims. Even our nation is a victim. Build a better car. Build a better car. That'll take care of the competition. Wouldn't it? When you buy a better, you buy the best car you think you can get. So build a better car. And that way, that'll take care of all those things. But no, we're living in that time now when I'm a victim. I'm being taken advantage of. It ain't my fault that things like they are. Oh, don't let him. I've had thoughts like this, but I hope you see what I'm trying. I'm just trying to bring out a point here. Sending all this merchandise in. Well, whose fault is it? It ain't them people's fault over there. It ain't their fault over there that our nation over here formed the unions and went on strike and making $25-$50 an hour and all that stuff. Got it all out of proportion. We had decent wages and decent prices. Well, we could compete with them people. We could compete with them. Help the Lord. But it ain't their fault. See, we'd rather blame somebody else. We'd rather try to say it ain't our fault. It's somebody else's fault, the way things are. Our very nation. And you and I, if we're not very careful, we can be saying, it ain't our fault. It's the times we're living. That's what it is. I would be spiritual, but it's time we're living in. I'd do more for God, but it's just the time we're living. I know we're living in perilous times. I know that. But I don't see anywhere in your word God's ever going to quit working. And I don't see anywhere where God's ever going to quit saving folks. And I don't see anywhere in there where God is ever going to quit supplying our needs. I don't see that. And I don't see anywhere where God is going to quit healing folks. Now I don't see it in the Bible. There's a great movement of people that said, well, all the miracles stopped when the first apostles died. I don't believe that because I've seen miracles lately. I know it ain't so.
No, it's not so.
I know it ain't so.
Amen.
But I can blame it on somebody else. I can say, well, if the church was like it ought to be, then I would be better. Well, if I want to be better, if I want the church to be better, just let me get better. I heard Brother Off say that many years ago. If you want more power in the congregation, get more power in my own life. If I want to have a lively prayer meeting, let me get real lively. Lord, give me something. Fill me up with something, Lord. pray something down on Wednesday, fast all day. Lord, I want to be able to be used in the prayer meeting tonight. I want to be able to see our prayer meeting has been too dead. I want to see him revived, Lord. And I want to be one that helps start the fire.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. It ain't my fault. I wish you folks would get something done around here. I wish them preachers would do something. What am I doing? If you want to see something done, get at it. Get at it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. See, we're living this age. I seen that word. That means something. I got to look into it. Now, it's in the Bible. It started in the very beginning. Lord said, where are you at, Adam? Where are you at, Adam? Oh, he came out of the bushes or woods. What'd you do that for? Oh, it wasn't my fault. It's that woman you gave me. I'd have never done that. Hadn't been for her. Well, God told him specifically not to do it. Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. But it's that woman. It ain't my fault. I'm a victim. You see, this thing started a long time ago, didn't it? And it comes right on down to today. And we're still a people. If we're not very careful, we'll be blaming our problems, our conditions, our situation, and the things that we're having to face, and the problems we're having, many of them. And I'm not up here to say that we don't sometimes have problems, and sometimes other folks cause us problems, and sometimes things do happen. But I have learned through experience that most of my problems, when I get everything fixed up between me and God, it begins to harm me. I found it like that, but it ain't my fault. I can just justify myself, and I can blame you, and I can put the blame over yonder, and I can put the blame down there, and I can find fault with this, and I can be an innocent, and it wasn't me, it wasn't my fault, I didn't do it, and all those kind of things. But then when I think about it, and I look into my own heart, if I would be honest myself, then I need to do something about it myself. Amen. Saul, Lord said, I want you to go down there to Nineveh, down there, and destroy all of the Amalekites. Every one of them. All evens. Cattle, sheep, king, everybody. Destroy it all. He went down, and we know the story. And he spared the king. And he spared the best of the sheep. And he brought him back up. And Samuel come out the next morning. And he said, I have done the will of the Lord. And Samuel said, how come I hear the bleating of the sheep? And the lowing of the ox. Where'd they come from? Oh, wasn't my fault. People done that. The people, they spared them. They spared them. Don't you see this thing? It's in the Bible, isn't it?
Yes.
Wasn't my fault. Yes, it was. You're the one I told to do it. I told you to destroy every one of them. Can't blame the people. You're the one that didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're the one that didn't carry out my orders. You're the one that didn't complete the job that I sent you to do. And you're the guilty one. But no, the people done it. And Saul said, they have brought them. Samuel said, what meaneth of the bleating of the sheep and of my ear, and the lowing of the oxen which I heard? And Saul said, they are they. That's them. Not me. It was them. Them. Lord help us tonight. I don't know why the Lord gives me all these messages, but I believe it's true. And again, the Lord ain't here to cut us off or condemn us or anyway here. He's here to help us. That's what he's trying to do, to help us. They. Oh, they get a lot of blame. They. I've always wondered who they were. They said this. Or they done that. Or they this. And I've always wondered, who are they? Who are they? Well, you know. I said, who are they? Well, you know. No, I don't know. Tell me who they are. Well, Saul, he was guilty of the same thing. They done that. It's their fault. Wasn't for them. Hadn't been for them, I'd have done everything God told me to do. But he's the king. He had the authority. He had the power. He's the one that God told him what to do. But he came back and he said, they. And he said, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekite. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. I didn't say just the rest of them. I said destroy them all. But they, sir, not me. You're a victim. You're making me a victim. I'm a victim. Now it's all saying you're taking advantage of them. You're blaming them with something or another that wasn't my fault. The people done it. But you didn't get away with it, did it? Didn't get away with it. Oh, so many times when we're finding fault, we're blaming others for our failures and our shortcomings. Many, many times. Now, I know people can be a stumbling block sometimes. I know there are things that happen. But I'm going to say most of the time, if we'll just get right down and get right down to the very root of the matter and find out why that I'm like I am and things are going like they are and how that I'm having a problem of getting along with others. I'm having a problem keeping the victory. I'm having a problem being overcomer. And I'm having a problem of seeing this and seeing that. And all those things, but all the time that God has promised in His Word that my grace is sufficient for thee. And all the time the Bible said in the message we preached, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. God has prepared a table for you and I to eat off of, to grow on, to mature with, and to collect victuals and food and water and nourishment and grace and power and ability to eat and grow and be fat and flourishing right in the presence of my enemies. Right in the presence. Right where others are murmuring and complaining and finding fault and laying it onto somebody else and losing out with God and losing spiritual ground and being a complaining all the time and everything, right in the very, I've seen it happen, right in the very same atmosphere, right in the very same congregation, right under the same preaching, right under the same teaching, I've seen people just grow and grow and grow and grow and mature and come to full maturity in God and be an overcoming Christian right in the very place where somebody else was blaming somebody else and finally fall with somebody else, blaming the church, blaming the preacher, blaming me, blaming you, finding me, all those kind of things. And there's others growing and prospering right in the very same atmosphere.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, so.
Lord, help us tonight.
Yes, Lord.
There was a time that God dealt with a nation, Israel, whole nation. Achan done what he done. They took him out and destroyed his whole family. Killed them all. And when the nation of Israel would do something, the whole nation would have to suffer. But it ain't so now. God don't deal with a nation. God deals with us individually. Individually. I can have a personal relationship with God.
Amen.
Under any circumstance, under any condition, I can have a close walk with God. I can be saved. I can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I can be overcoming daily, walking with God, growing in the Lord, maturing, learning about God, being able to work for God, do something for God, right, and finding grace, finding power, finding help, right in the midst of anything that's going on, and I'm still walking with God, I'm still pleasing God, I'm still enjoying my salvation, I still got a testimony, I still can witness to others, right while others are standing back and still a victim. Not my fault. Not my fault. Somebody else's fault. I pray the Lord bless us tonight.
Bless.
That we can get a hold. This is one of the greatest tools of the devil. Is to get me to look at others and other things and distract me away and get me to try to justify myself. You know, old self's a hard old customer. He don't like to die. He likes to defend himself. I'll go anywhere, I'll do anything, I'll make any sacrifice. The little track we have out on self. I'll do anything. I'll give money, I'll give time, I'll go to Africa, I'll go to India, I'll do anything, I'll deny myself of anything. But I just don't deny myself. Self dies me alone. And that's self that rises up to defend itself. And I wouldn't be so narrow-minded to say, like I said a while ago, that there not is some things do happen. But I want to tell you, whatever does happen, the grace of God is there to enable us to be victorious right off.
Yes.
Right off. It's up to me. I can be a victim. Victimism can take a hold of me. Or I can just blame others, like I said. Or I can blame situations. And I know there are things happen sometimes just about knocks you off on your feet. Just about knocks you off on your feet. Just something real hard to take sometime or another. But by the grace of God, I can rise up above that. I can look to God for grace and for power and forgiveness and for humility and for help from the Lord to enable me to grow and prosper and use that thing for a stepping stone. Commit those folks in the hand of God and go right on living and serving God.
Amen.
I'm a victim. Not my fault. Saul said, it ain't my fault. The Lord help us tonight.
Yes, dear Lord.
You know, God, one came along there and God gave some folks some talents. And one had five and one had two. And they went out and traded and got more and brought them unto the Lord. Lord came to collect and they brought an offer to God. And God said, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But the other fellow said, I've taken it and buried it. I know you was an austere man. He knew something. He knew how God was. He knew that God demanded a return on his investment. But he went and buried it. I was afraid. I was afraid. But me, I'm a victim. I'm a victim. I'm of the minority. People take advantage of me. They don't treat me right. They ride over me. They mistreat me. They misunderstand me. And I'm sure that happens sometime. But I believe the burden of the Lord is that we just get a hold of God.
Yes.
And we just quit making excuses.
Yes. Amen.
And just quit justifying ourselves because what some other folks are doing. I know folks don't do right. They never have and they never will. Not everybody's going to do right. Never will. And they that live godly shall suffer persecution. What's that? So God can enable me. I don't have to be a victim. If I want a better experience, I can get a better experience. If I want to be able to be an overcomer, I can be an overcomer.
Yes, thank the Lord.
And if I can't get along with somebody else, it's their fault. Isn't it so easy to blame other folks? Sometimes it might be their fault. But I'm still going to stick with the thought most of the time. Most of the time. So when we really get down, as the Bible said, one place to the root of the matter, and we get down and find right where the problem is, many, many times, it's right in here. Right in me. Right in me. Somehow or another, it's got something or another that I don't want to give it up. I don't want to turn it loose. And therefore, I can blame others for it. May God help us tonight.
Yes, bless the Lord.
The grace of God. God has manifested. I read a scripture today meditating on this thought. First chapter of Romans. Said here in the 18th verse, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God, listen, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without an excuse. Amen. If I lose my soul, it'll be my own fault. It won't be anybody else. And if I, like I said earlier, if I don't be faithful and I don't stand for God, it'll be my own fault. Because the grace of God that brings salvation is available to every man. To every woman, every boy, and every girl. And therefore, let us tonight settle in our heart. Anchor my soul in God.
Yes.
The Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, drawing grace and power. And when I am opposed, and when things don't go the way that I want them to go, and when they don't go the way I have them to go, or they don't go the way I want them to go, and people do things that I don't approve of, I don't like what they're doing, and I can't hardly stand what they're doing, still, I'm going to not blame anything. I'm just going to keep my eyes right on God. And I'm not going to look at them. I'm not going to allow them to draw me away from God. I'm not going to allow them to distract me. But I'm going to draw down grace from God.
Yes.
And I'm going to go right on and consecrate my life to God. And I'm going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to walk close to God. And oh, the joy. The joy. You know, I find that the closer I live to God, the less faults I see in other folks. Amen? It just works that way. When I am filled with the Spirit of God, and I am clear, and my conscience is clear, and my relationship with God is not right up to date, I really don't pay much for attention to what other folks are doing. I really don't pay much attention to what other folks are doing. I say, wife would say, did you see that? No. I wasn't even looking at that.
No.
I was so enveloped in God and what God is doing and what I'm praying for, what I'm desiring from God, how I want to grow myself, how I want to be closer to God, how I want to have more power with God. I'm working on it daily right now. I want more of God in my life. I want to be more spiritual. I want to be more like Christ. I want to have more victory. I want to have more of His presence in my life. I want to be a brighter light. I want to be a better worker. I want to do more for God. I got a full-time job. I can't blame nobody else for it. It's between me and God. And I've got a full-time job just taking care of myself and my relationship with God and my contact with the Lord. I find that takes about all of my time just to keep me in line and keep me in order. But I can say, well, it ain't my fault. Ain't my fault. I'm a victim. I'm a minority. I'm not able to cope with that. May the Lord bless us tonight. Not a victim. David, know the old story of him. When he was caught, when he got caught, the terrible thing he did. Prophet came along, gave him parables we all know. And he said, well, that man ought to be taken out and killed or destroyed or whatever. But the prophet said, thou art the man. David, you did that. You did that. No, that woman. He didn't say that, but he could have. He could have said, no, that woman shouldn't have been out on that rooftop there taking a bath. Couldn't have said that. He could have made a lot of excuses. But David didn't make any excuses. He said, Lord, I've sinned. I've sinned. And didn't take the Lord very long to forgive him, did it? But David could have made, I'm a king. I can have any woman I want. If I want another woman, I get another woman. But he didn't say that. He said, it's me. It's me. And oh, when you and I can look into our own life and look into our own attitudes, our own actions, and our own reactions and look at ourselves and see where we're at, we'll find that other folks don't look so bad. Amen?
Yes, amen.
We'll find, like I said, I want to try to keep this balance, but there are things that does happen. Always has, always will. Always will. They've always been things around the Church of God happen. They've always been people that made failures. They've always been ministers that have been overcome. And they've always been a tendency to kind of drift. There's always been a tendency for things like that. But right in the midst of the whole thing, the whole history of the church, there's always been somebody that would stand true. Stand true. Stand right there. Yeah, you see what they're doing? Yeah. You know, they're not living like they used to. Yeah, okay. Well, how am I then? I don't have to follow their example. I don't have to do it because they're doing it. I don't have to let down because they let down. I don't have to be fanatic because they're fanatic. I don't have to just blame. Well, if it wasn't for this, if it wasn't for things like the other, the Lord help us tonight.
Amen.
Not get caught under this spirit.
Yet.
Feeling like I'm just a victim. They're just taking advantage of me. They just don't have no confidence in me. Poor old man. I have it harder than them. And you don't understand. Well, maybe I don't. But then I don't have to allow that to affect me. I can go right on working for God. I can go right on living for God. I can go right on being an overcomer. Prospering in the things of the Lord, right in the midst of the whole thing. Whatever I face, I can do that, or I can blame myself. I can be like Saul. I can blame it on the people. I can blame it on the church. I can blame it on the preacher. I can blame it on the world. I can blame it on the time we're living in. I can blame it on whatever I want to blame it on. But that won't justify me in the sight of God. Won't justify me in the sight of God. Thou art unexcusable, O man. God has made provisions. If I just tell you to go on out there now, do all these things, you wouldn't be able to do it. But God knew things would be. And therefore He has given us all things. He provided the ingredients, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God. He's provided all those things that the man of God might be truly furnished unto every good work. God's made provisions for us folks that we can. I'm not going to tell you there ain't going to be things happen. I ain't going to tell you there ain't going to be people disappointed. I ain't going to tell you there's not going to be some things gold, contrary. But I'm going to stand up here and tell you that there's available the grace of God, the power of God, the ingredients of the Lord that I can get a hold of and I can prosper in the Lord.
Amen.
At the same time.
Yes,
you want a better car? If you want to start outselling Japanese cars, Detroit, start building better cars. Start building better cars. We want to chase some of these people that's shipping a lot of stuff into this country. Let's start producing better stuff at the price people can afford to buy it. That'll run them out. If I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, and I'm a victim of something or other, I, by the grace and help of God, I'll rise above it and rise above it. I hope this will be a challenge to our soul tonight. I know what I'm talking about. I'm right in all this too. But I have learned that what other folks do, or what the world does, or the circumstances, or the situation, don't have to affect my relationship with God. That don't have to affect my relationship with God. I can still keep in contact with God. I can still pray. I can still measure to the Word of God. I can still walk in the truth that's revealed in my heart. And I can still work for God as God leads me to do it.
Amen.
Nothing to keep me from doing that. Ain't nobody can keep me from doing it. Devil can't keep me from doing it. No power in hell and earth can keep you from doing it. Just do what God bids me to do. May we stand and have a song tonight. If you're having problems, you've had a problem with this, or you are having problems, and you will, I'll face it. We'll all have it. As I said the other night, the devil will hang something out there to tempt me with, give me a substitute. But if I look right down into my very heart, I can't blame it. Bible said the Father shall not answer for the Son, and the Son. Sometimes we're living in a time now when the psychologists and the sociologists and the psychiatrists are getting rich, trying to unravel people's problems and all these things. But you know what we told, Billy Jean told the little kindergarten children up there the other day, or little first graders. She said, now you children, some of you are coming from a home where they have a television and where your daddy's not saved and all those things. She was talking to little 6-year-olds, and she said, you're coming from a home where some have a television or things ain't just like they ought to be. But she said, that is no excuse for you to do that. Talking to a little 6-year-old. And you know they got a hold of that? Those little 6-year-olds got a hold of that?
Thank the Lord.
And so, we don't have to. Maybe I wasn't raised right. Maybe my daddy was abusive. Maybe my home wasn't like it ought to be. And I know this has a great effect on many people. But God, still God. And God can make a new creature out of me. And God can give me a divine nature.
Yes.
And God can change all those things. I know these make a great imprint on many people, but God wants to change me. I can't blame my parents the way I was raised 60 years ago for what I am now, if I ain't what I ought to be. I cannot blame. God dealt with me. God dealt with me. And God showed me I was lost. And God saved me. And God changed me. Till I've almost forgot how I was raised. So, I can't blame that. Because God has promised, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. So if we're not very careful, we can be blaming the way I was raised, the way I was abused, the way I was accused. And I know these things make an imprint. But I don't want us to limit the power of God tonight. If I've got a hang up, if I've got something like that, God will make an adjustment in that thing. And God can fix it up and take care of it. So let's don't allow Let's don't allow the enemy to cause us to excuse ourselves, to make excuses for the way I am, to say, blame it on somebody else, and I'm not guilty. That's not my fault. It's the way I was raised. It's the way I was trained. I was an Irishman. I just naturally got a high temper. I was a Dutchman, so I'm just naturally tight. I can't blame it on that. I can't blame it on my nationality. I was born in poverty. I was born in misery. I can't blame it on that. Because God's grace is sufficient for every one of us.
Yes, it is.
And God's power is unlimited. And He can change the vilest sinner and make us deny. I don't believe this is too strong, do you? I believe this is the truth.
Yes, it is. Lord.
And we just see it all across the land. Politicians get up. I don't. Politics is all. I mean, our kind of politics. Political system. They won't get up there and say, I'm a man. I'm a Christian, if I am. I've got this much education. My family's a good family. I've got my wife and children. We get along good. And I went to this college. I've had this experience. I'd like you folks to vote for it. If you could use those, if you think I've got the qualifications to make a good judge or a senator, well, I'd appreciate your vote. No, that ain't what they do. They start running the other fellow down. Oh, this is an old spirit in the world now. Picking out every old thing that somebody done years and years ago. Blaming them for something or another. Got a man up there now trying to get in the Supreme Court, and they're picking up old things that he done years and years ago. And those that are picking him up have probably done things twice worse than he done. It's just an old fault-finding, complaining, blaming somebody else, trying to put the blame. Oh, it's that old policy. You elect me governor, and it'll be different. That old governor you got now, why, he ain't no good. Maybe he ain't. But to me, I'd come nigh or less if I voted at all, but I'd come nigh or less vote for a man like that. And you know, that's the spirit. It gets right into religious realms too, you know. We got a better something better. I got something better. Them ain't, that fella there, he, you know, he ain't got it. All those things. Just trying to dig up a little dirt, you know. Blame it. Put somebody down. All the time. I'm sitting here making laws. I don't believe in smoking cigarettes. I believe it's a terrible, terrible, bad habit. But when I see a man sitting around talking about how bad cigarettes is and taking a drink of whiskey at the same time, that don't make sense to me. He's blaming everything, you know. Ain't my fault. Let's don't be caught up in this victimism spirit. I don't know if you ever heard of that one before. But it's a spirit. It certainly is a spirit. And he'll get a hold of me. And he'll cause me to see everything wrong with you that I can find. I believe there are some people, looks like this, goes around seeing what all bad things they can see. I think there's folks go to church sometimes just to look to see what all they can find that ain't right. There's just an old spirit like that in the world today. And it's in the political world. It's in the natural world. It's in the spiritual realms. But God forbid that it be around and in the church, around the saints of God. That we be caught up in that same old spirit. And if I can't, I'm a victim, I've been mistreated, I've been put down, so I'll go out and I'll cut your tires. I'll break your windows out. That's what they do nowadays. In place of looking at yourself. And if I can't have it the way I want it, I'll destroy you. I'll run you down. I'll talk about you. I'll criticize you. I'll tell tales on you. If I can't have it the way I want it, I'll tear it up. You know there's people like that?
Yes.
If I can't get it the way I want it, I can't have it the way I want it, I'll just destroy it. Because I'm a victim. Well, may the Lord bless us tonight. Let's sing 295? Wade in the Mountain. That song's been on my mind all week. We haven't sang it yet, I don't believe. Let's weigh ourselves out tonight by the Word of God. And I want God wants this message, and I want it to be a challenge and encouragement to us tonight. To see and to get a hold that I'm not going to blame other folks. I'm just going to take my stand for God. And I'm going to grow and prosper right where things are happening. Let's stand and sing this song.